Titus chapter 2 in your Bibles this morning. If you need us, call us. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that very much. This is new. Not any longer. I saw Brother O'Malley a couple of times. I thought about slipping out and go get him one. Help him find a place, Gary, if you don't mind. Hi. Titus chapter 2. I want to mention in verse 1 and verse 5, Paul writing to this book to Titus said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And in chapter 2, verse 1, he tells Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience." Y'all know what that is. That's a blue verse. Brother O'Malley said those verses for the men. That's blue verses. The ones for the ladies are pink verses. And then the pink verse, verse 3. "The aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, help me as I speak to give information from your word that will be a help and a blessing to your people. We ask that you would draw men unto you that are not yet saved. Help them to see their great need before it is forever too late. And help them to understand your great love in giving your son to die in their place. We're thankful that you have saved us. We are sinners who've been saved by the grace of God, and we rejoice in salvation. Help us now to be a good witness and a testimony to others. And bless in the homes that are represented here today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been speaking on the home and the family and the marriage since Valentine. Brother O'Malley came and brought messages on the home and family during our brief revival. And he spoke a lot to the children, to the teenagers, and to the young people in the home, and how the parents' responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Today, I want to give you just a brief of the duties of men and the duties of women. It's not an exhaustive treatise that we'll cover completely. It's just a quick reminder from the scripture, thinking about husbands and wives' relationship and the relationship of the home as we continue in that thought. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible says that man is made in the image and the likeness of God. We know that from back in Genesis. And we know that this is the responsibilities of man that he was given starting with Adam and God telling him what his responsibilities were. God has chosen men out of nations to be leaders. Adam and his generation to follow all the way down to Moses led without having the law and without having all of the commandments and all those kind of things that were given. And the men of each home had to be the priest and the leader, make sacrifice to God, get hold of God in prayer on behalf of their family. And then there became more of a structure with Moses and the law. Abraham was chosen out by God to lead the nation of Israel. Now I'm going to mention a lot of verses of scripture in this, but I'm going to move along and I'll read many of those that I already have copied down. So it'll be hard for you to turn to each one. But if you'll make a note, there should be a freshly sharpened pencil in the pew for you. And if you want to take a pew and an offering envelope, if you don't have paper, and jot down some of these scriptures and look them up later today. In Genesis 12, in verse 1 through 3, God chose Abraham out to follow him, to go where he would show him to go, and he would make of him a great nation of people. And we know that's how the nation of Israel began. Moses then became the leader that God chose in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 10. God called Moses to go to Pharaoh and to lead his people out of the bondage that they were in. In the book of Judges, God used 13 men, one woman, and 13 judges altogether to bring about a deliverance from other nations that conquered them and put them in servitude. There were 7 great deliverances that took place in the book of Judges. Israel, like us, caused their own problems. Their lack of obedience, their turning away from the Lord, their disobedience to God. God allowed other nations to conquer them, put them in servitude, and then they would cry to God, and God would raise up a deliverer in the same vein that God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from our sins and to pay the price for all the wrong that we have done. We think about some of these men, and Gideon is one of them. In chapter 6 and verse number 14, God came to him. He was hiding behind some threshing equipment trying to get some wheat to keep the Midianites from taxing him and taking it away from him. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, Who are you talking to?" "Not me. Mighty man of valor. I'm hiding over here trying to do something." And he said, "Well, if you're for us, God, then why has all this befallen us?" And God said, "You go in this strength and you'll deliver the nation of Israel." And Gideon argued with the Lord. Gideon said, "I'm the least of my tribe, and our tribe is the least of the tribes of Israel. And you know, who am I to do this?" And God said, "I will be with you." Friends, God's what makes the difference. If we got God on our side, we don't have any worries. We may have difficulties in life because God's timing is not our timing, but when God is on the throne and in charge, and may I say today with this virus, God's still on the throne and God is in charge. In Isaiah chapter 6, you remember the story how that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the seraphim were about him that cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah repented, said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And God sent the angel with a coal from the altar of heaven and touched his mouth, and he was cleansed of all of his iniquities. And God said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." God has chosen out men all throughout the history of the Bible to be leaders, to do his will, to accomplish the work he would have them to do. I love the stories of Elijah and Elisha. I love the power of God, the miracles that were performed, and how these two prophets of God
stood in the face of kings of the earth and told them God's word and God's will and how God would judge them if they did not treat Israel in the way that they should. In New Testament, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 26. We'll get a little closer to our day we live in today. Acts chapter 26 and verse 16, with the Apostle Paul giving his testimony. Acts 26 and verse 16 through 18, Paul giving the king, Agrippa, his testimony, said, God said to him, But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul spoke to a king and he shared his testimony about what happened to him on the Damascus Road and what God had sent him to do. Paul is an apostle, which means a sent one. In the Latin translation of that word is where we get the English word missionary. They are sent ones that go to other countries with the gospel message. They seek to do what Paul sought to do with the message to the Gentile nations on how they could be saved by faith in Christ. Men have been chosen out by God to be leaders of nations, leaders of homes, leaders of families, leaders of the church. In those old days, they were the priests of the home, and they made the sacrifice and the offering until God established the Aaronic priesthood that would take over that duty. Being leaders required something. It required clean living. Isaiah 1:16, he said, Wash ye, put evil away. Make yourself clean. Put evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, Isaiah 1 and verse 16. In Acts 22 and verse 16, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, Scripture says, Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Timothy 2:21, If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. James 4:8, Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. 1 John 3:3, John wrote, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Verse 3 said, Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When Jesus dealt with his disciples, he said in John 15:3, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And in 1 Corinthians 6:11, the scripture says, speaking of sinfulness and those who will not inherit the kingdom of God, he then said, And such were some of you, but ye are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You see, it doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter how deep in sin you were. It doesn't matter the depravity of your soul in the past. What matters now is that God has saved you by His grace and cleansed you of your sin and given you of His Spirit and set your feet on a rock. And what we are now, we need to have a testimony to the world around us. We need to keep our lives clean. We need to keep our church clean. We need to keep our home clean so that we can be the leaders God would have us to be. Men who are leaders have to be men of integrity, boldness, maturity, honesty, characteristics of men who are in leadership that are put there by God. Character. to have the distinctive traits, a pattern of behavior, of moral strength and self-discipline. Men with a testimony of being a Christian. Men, we must guard our testimonies just as we must guard our heart. Because if we lose our testimony, it takes a long time and a lot of close walking with God. God will cleanse you and forgive you the moment you confess your sin to Him and seek His forgiveness in genuineness. But the people who know you won't put it aside until they've seen a longevity of a testimony in the right direction. We need to be good men. We need to be good men if we're an employee. We need to be a valued employee. And if we're an employer, we need to treat people in the right way and be a good man as an employer. As a father, we saw the reminder in our revival in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we have the responsibility to teach our children the Word of God and God's commands. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, Paul was a father figure to the churches that he had started and that he ministered to. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:14, "I seek not yours, but you. For children ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Paul looked at these churches as his spiritual children, and he was not there trying to get things from them. He was there to give himself for them. And he would spend himself and be spent for their need according to the gospel. Men as husbands. Adam wrote that you're to leave your parents and join to your wife and become one in the eyes of the Lord. In Proverbs 5 and verse 18, rejoice with the wife of your youth. We know we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A self-sacrifice for others' good. And then men, we live in this world, we're neighbors to people whether we like it or not. I'm like Ernest T. Bass now. I'd like to hermitize myself in a cave somewhere, you know. But we can't and be ministers for Christ. We got to rub shoulders with people. We got to help people that are lost. We got to see them as blind and deaf and they need Christ. And we've got to be good neighbors to people. Mark 12, verse 31, love your neighbor. Romans 13, 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. To have the power to minister and reconcile men to God, the Spirit of God has to be able to lead us as a clean, fit vessel for God to do the work that He's told us to do. 2 Corinthians 5 says we're ambassadors for Christ. We speak in His stead. Fathers, to your children, you are an example of God to them. You remember the story of the father that was walking in the snow and he turned around and looked and his son was trying to step in his footsteps behind him. They follow our example far more than they follow what we tell them to do. And so it's imperative that we're the example that we need to be for our children. Those are all blue verses, and now we get to the pink verses. Duties of the women. Proverbs 31 is one of the great texts of the Bible that speaks to women. To be a woman of virtue is greater than rubies or wealth. Virtue means moral excellence. It means to be worthy of praise. The Bible says in Proverbs 31 that her husband trusts her. She will do him good all her days, and not evil. She is a worker who cares for the needs of her household. She is helpful to others, including the needy. Strength and honor are her clothing. And when she opens her mouth, it is with wisdom and kindness. Her children rise and call her blessed. I hope our children will thank God for us. When they grow up enough to have families of their own, I hope they'll thank God that they grew up in the kind of home they did and had the parents that they had. Women as mothers. Many women raise families. Many men are absentee dads. The workload, the career load, the working out of town, all of that makes it hard on a marriage, and it makes it hard on the woman at home to take care of the home. We had one child when we went to Springfield, Missouri, and then we had two more born while we were going through Bible college. And my wife stayed home and took care of the children, and I went to college full-time and worked a 40-hour-a-week job. So I was gone most of the time. We had Saturday and Sunday together. But most of the time, I was either at work or at school, or I had to sleep a few hours every night. And my wife had to do all those duties of the home and taking care of the children, including giving birth to two while we were going through a short period of time. Mothers raise their families sometimes on their own. Many women become widows at younger ages. During wars and military time, that oft happens. During illness and sickness, we're very blessed right now with the American system of medicine that we haven't had the kind of deaths that China has had or Italy has had. And we aren't having the kind of deaths we did during the swine flu back in 2008 when they had about 14,000 people die in the United States of America and about 60,000 people contracted the virus of the swine flu during that time period. You said, I never even heard of that. That's because the news media didn't report it. They're reporting more than they need to now, but they reported nothing they needed to back then. Women often are also abandoned by men. Men get tired of the responsibility. They get attracted to somebody else they work with. They walk off and leave their families. And of course, there's the difficulty of divorce. Single mothers raise a lot of children in America. God help them. God bless them. God give them strength. They're not a man. They're not supposed to have to do all the duties. They can't be a father to their children. Their boys need a daddy, and their girls need a mother. And God help us to be the kind of people that make sure that takes place. She's to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good and obedient. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 5. These are qualities that God expects of women in the church, expects me as a preacher to soundly teach the Word of God truthfully that will teach us to do these things. But it doesn't leave me alone to teach women on how to behave. It says the older women should teach the younger women on how to live. Grandmas, you're important. You can teach your daughters how to live and how to raise their family, them opportunities, and do what you can do to teach them right from wrong. Not drinkers and gossips, but teachers of good things. Love your husband. The Bible says when Abraham sent his servant to get his son Isaac a wife, that Sarah died. And he was moping around because his mother had died. And then his wife Rebekah rode up on a camel, and she leaped off and went to her husband, and the Bible says that Rebekah's love comforted Isaac after the loss of his mother. A great love story in the Bible is the story of Jacob and Rachel. How that he was working for his uncle Laban, his mother's brother, in a foreign land from home. And he loved his cousin Rachel. And Laban said, how much should I pay you to work for me? And he said, I'll serve you 7 years if you'll give me Rachel to be my wife. And the Bible says he worked 7 years for Rachel. And it says in Genesis 29 and verse 20 that it was like a few days because of the love that he had for Rachel. That's a good love story. You don't have to read Harlequin books to get a good love story. There's a lot of them in the Bible. And then y'all know the story, how his uncle slipped his sister-in-law in there, you know, to be on the wedding night, and so he had to serve 7 more years. But he fulfilled her 1 week, and then he had his wife, Rachel, as promised. But he labored 14 years and had many children during that time in a labor for his hire. And then the story of Ruth, a Moabitess, who her tribe of people were cursed by God. They could not enter the temple to the 10th generation because of how they had treated Israel in the wilderness journey. She was a Gentile widow. Her husband was a Jew who was the son of Naomi and Elimelech and had died. And her sister-in-law, who married her brother-in-law, went back to her people. But this is what Ruth wrote in Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17. "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more, if aught but death part thee and me." Boy, that's a commitment. Ruth was committed to follow Naomi back to her homeland and to be a daughter-in-law to her, even though her husband was gone. And y'all know how the Bible says it was her hap to go out and glean in a field of the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, a man of wealth who owned the field and was a relative. And God worked it out that Boaz married Ruth, and they had a son whose name was Obed. And Obed had a son whose name was Jesse. And Jesse had a son whose name was David. And David became the king of the nation of Israel, with his great-grandmother being a Gentile that was considered unclean. Boaz was willing to marry her because this is what he said of her: "All the city knows that you are a virtuous woman." She was a woman of virtue. She labored and worked and cared for her mother-in-law, and God provided for her. Let me close with this. There's lots of heartbreaks in raising a family. Too many families lose immediate family members before their time. Oh, the grief of funerals when parents have to bury their children because of whatever, wrecks, disease, war. My dad was working at Rock Hill Printing and Finishing, and a major from Camp Paris Island came in and called him out and told him his son had been wounded in combat, and he didn't know to tell him any more than that. And I can imagine my mother and father, how they must have felt. Can you imagine the Sullivan family in World War II that lost 5 sons on Navy ships in the battles of World War II? The heartbreak of being a parent. Brother Jeff Wills could tell you stories of some heartbreak of parents whose children are in prison now because of some wrong decision, some wrong move, some bad influence by the people they spent time with, from alcohol or drugs, and now their parents weep because their children are in prison. That's a terrible heartbreak. Rizpah in the Bible lost 2 sons. In battle. The battle was because of Saul's sins with the people. 7 sons of Saul, descendants of Saul, were killed, hung up, tortured, and left there. And Rizpah laid out her pallet on the rocks and kept the birds away from their bodies in the rain and the sun. And when David learned He went down and got the bodies of them because it included Saul and Jonathan. And he brought their bones and buried them in a proper burial. And Rizpah has a testimony in Scripture for her sacrifice during that time. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Let's think about being the men we should be. Let's think about being the women that we should be. Young people, if you got a good godly home, use that to emulate when you get married and you move out on your own. Have a godly home. Have a good church. Be somewhere they teach and preach the Bible as they should and live for the Lord. And God will bless you and multiply what you do. My wife and I got married. We never had any idea that we'd end up with 4 children and 13 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We don't know yet how big this clan's going to get. But I hope we can be good testimonies to them all and lead them in the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless in the invitational time as we pause and give you opportunity to deal with hearts. By your Spirit, Lord, speak to hearts now. Draw people unto yourself. Help us to repent of our sins and cleanse ourselves to be the men of integrity and men with clean lives to lead in our home. And bless the ladies, we pray. Thank you for their sacrifices. Thank you for their labor in the church. They're often in the shadow of the men who receive praise. And they do much of the work and the labor, especially with the children. Help our godly ladies teach the younger ladies. And Lord, may we be prepared when the time of judgment comes. Bless today in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.